You know, there are, in many of our lives, pivotal moments, pivotal people, pivotal places. Let's revisit a conversation that I had previously about pivotal time as we take a look at it from the perspective of what took place for the Israelites when it was time to leave Egypt. Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Your presence is heaven to me. Where you are just in time for another week's edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Your presence is heaven to me. Israel Houghton singing, Your Presence is Heaven. And we're going to take our journey now through the lives of the times of some of our pivotal moments in our lives that can be very, very defining moments. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs, and holder of my future days to come. That's one of the things we're going to be looking at today, the Redeemer of our past, the person who holds our future in his hands. Looking at the pivotal moments, and there's so much that we can grab hold of as we take a look at some of the journeys of those who have gone before us, including historical figures from the Bible. And as I was helping us go through this journey previously, we took a look at some of what was happening with the Israelites. And remember, they had ended up in Egypt. And you remember what happened. Joseph, who was a godly man, was hated, resented, despised by his brothers, because largely because of the call that was on his life. I know that a lot of this had to do with the fact that Joseph's father made the huge mistake of favoring Joseph over the rest of his brothers and making it clear that he loved Joseph more than his brothers and favored Joseph over the rest of Jacob's sons. That was a huge mistake. That's just not a good way to build a good, solid family relationship, no doubt. But remember that part of the issue, too, was that God had a plan for Joseph. God had given Joseph two dreams, and in both of those dreams that Joseph shared with his family, Joseph was shown being the head over his family, ruling over them. And his brothers recognized that the dream was from God, but they would not accept that this was God's will, that this was God's plan, that this would be God's doing. They would not accept that. And so they hated their brother even more. And again, notice now, the issue is not that Jacob is showing even more that he favors Joseph more than his brothers, because you think about it, Jacob was somewhat offended when the second dream revealed that Joseph would be ruling even over his parents. Jacob was somewhat offended by that. And he wasn't saying to the rest of his sons, look, if this is the way it's going to be, this is the way it's going to be. We need to just accept this, get over it, prepare for it. That's not what Jacob said. He was a little offended, but the Bible also says that Jacob basically pondered this in his heart. Joseph's brothers, like Joseph and like their father, Jacob, who had had dreams that were from God, understood that this was a dream from God, which revealed God's plan to them. And rather than say, wow, you know what? God is getting ready to take this man someplace. He is our younger brother, but God has made it clear that he is going to take Joseph higher than the rest of us. Rather than continue to hate and despise and resent our own brother, we need to go ahead and change our attitude and go about the business of caring about our brother and developing a good relationship with him. God has made it clear. He's taking Joseph someplace. He's not taking the rest of us. We need to get over this. It's not what happened. They hated their brother even more, their own brother. And please notice now, this was not Joseph's dream to Joseph. This was not a vision, a dream, a desire that Joseph decided to come up with on his own. He was asleep. And God put the dream inside his mind so that Joseph would know what God's will is. Now, I know some people say, you know, they criticize Joseph for having gone to his brothers and told them what the dream was. And some people say that Joseph should never have said anything to them. I'm not so sure that that's correct. I'm not so sure that Joseph messed up by revealing to his brothers the fact that God had given him these dreams. I'm not so sure Joseph did wrong, ethically or otherwise. Very often when God gives us dreams, it is to be shared. The dream itself is to be shared with someone even before the dream is fulfilled. And that's partly because with many people, y'all know the reason that God gives us words of prophecy. And the Bible talks about how with several of the prophets, they said, the word of the Lord came to me in a dream. The word of the Lord came to me in a dream. And guess what? Not only did he share that dream with us by writing it down, but he shared those dreams with his contemporaries, the people who were living right there amongst him at the time that he had the dream. The word of the Lord came to me in a vision, God's prophets often wrote. And they shared with the people right there around them what those dreams and visions were about. Because the dreams and visions often had to do with their contemporaries. And they were not messing up by sharing those dreams, sharing those visions, sharing that word. Remember, the word of the Lord came to me in a dream. The word of the Lord came to me in a vision. And they shared that word with those who lived right there around them. Joseph shared the word of the Lord that had come to him in that dream. He just didn't say, hey, the word of the Lord came to me in a dream. He didn't say it that way, but he made it clear to them the dream was not his. The dream had come from God to him. And just as with anyone else, his brothers had the choice of either accepting God's word, which of course was his will, his revealed will, or rejecting it. They chose to reject it. So it wasn't just jealousy. It wasn't just hatred. They were rejecting God's will. Remember, Joseph, the older brothers had gone, taken care of their father's animals, the sheep, the flocks. And Jacob said, hey, Joseph, I want you to go check on your brothers. Make sure that everyone's all right. So Joseph complied. He went looking for his brothers, finally found them. As they saw him approaching, remember, they said, hey, here comes that dreamer. Let us kill him. And then let's see what happens with his dream. They believed that if Joseph lived, the dream would come to pass. Why? Because they were convinced that this dream was from God. So they figured the only way to prevent the dream from coming to pass is to kill Joseph. Then how would he be able to ever rule over them? Well, fortunately, one of the brothers said, hey, look, don't kill him. He is our brother. And instead, they threw him into the well. They threw their brother into a well, finally bringing him out for the purpose of selling him into slavery, their own brother. His flesh and blood, his brothers, decided to destroy his life by selling him into slavery. His brothers, not people from a foreign country who claimed not to know God, the ones who claimed to know God, who claimed to be the children of God, sold him, gave him over to those who did not claim to know the God of Israel. How often do we have people today who do that very thing? Claim to know God and turn over a brother or a sister or a family who is truly striving to follow God, to please God. Turn them over to those who don't strive to know God, don't pretend to know God, don't pretend to be following Christ Jesus. And just like Joseph, the person really never did anything to provoke the hatred, the hostility, the malice that filled these people's hearts. Joseph's brothers sold him, and he ended up in Egypt. He was sold to one group, and then that group sold him into slavery in Egypt. And Joseph lived there for a while. He continued to follow his God faithfully. He continued to worship his God. He continued to grow in wisdom and grace. He continued to be a spiritual, moral man of God who just would not get into sin. And we know the story. He ended up serving the captain of Pharaoh's guard, Pharaoh, the Egyptian king. Joseph ended up serving the captain of the Pharaoh's guard. Unfortunately, because of Joseph's good looks, now Joseph's good looks weren't the problem. The problem was Potiphar, the name of the captain of the guard, had a wife who had a problem with lust. She saw Joseph and decided that she would go ahead and have sex with Joseph. Now, I know a lot of people love to say that the only time that women will get into some kind of sexual sin is because, or any sin, is because some man in their life has failed them. You know the real reason that women have problems with lust? For the same reason that men have problems with lust. The sinful nature. Their own sinful nature. Not the sinful nature of some man. Their own sinful nature. And Potiphar's wife made up her mind she was going to have sex with Joseph. Joseph refused to have sex with Potiphar's wife because it would have been sin. And since she could not get Joseph to have sex with her, she decided she was going to get even. And she lied on Joseph and claimed that he tried to rape her. Joseph ended up being thrown into prison. While he was in prison, two of the Pharaoh's servants were thrown into prison. One was a cupbearer who was responsible for making sure that anything that the king drank was safe and tasty. The other was responsible for his baked goods. They ended up displeased. They displeased the king for whatever reason and however they did it. And they ended up in the same prison that Joseph was in. The two of them had their own dreams, which they could not interpret. Joseph did interpret. One of them was to lose his life. The other was to regain his position serving the king. And it happened just the way Joseph said it would. The one who regained his position as servant was asked by Joseph to remember him, talk to the king, and get him delivered, set free from that prison that he really had not had no business being in because he hadn't done anything wrong. Well, unfortunately, that man literally forgot Joseph. Didn't dismiss him, didn't ignore his plea. He literally forgot. The information passed from his mind. He truly forgot Joseph until 2 years later, when the Pharaoh had two dreams that he could not understand and none of his other servants, none of his magicians, no one else in the kingdom could interpret the two dreams. That's when the servant who was restored to his position remembered Joseph. He urged the king to call for Joseph because he believed Joseph could interpret the dreams. God gave Joseph the interpretation of the dreams, indicating that the time was going to come when a famine was going to hit the land. But before the famine hit the land, they were going to have years of plenty. Joseph explained to the king that what he would need to do is store up food. Do we need to be doing that nowadays? We have all these droughts that lead to food shortages. Can we learn something from this lesson? Do we have to keep throwing away perfectly good food? Or can we use the wisdom that God has put in human beings and come up with viable ways to store food? They were able to store food that lasted for 7 years. Actually, longer than that, when you consider they were storing up during the years of plenty and then began to use that food when the famine hit 7 years later and lasted for 7 years. Can't we do that? Just asking now. So here we go. Joseph gave the king a plan as to what he could do during the years of plenty to help the land, to help the people of the land survive during the years of famine. The king and his servants, his assistants, agreed that Joseph should be the man to lead the charge. And the Pharaoh ended up making Joseph the second highest ranking person in the nation, second only to the king, to the Pharaoh himself. When we come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story as to how the Israelites ended up in Egypt.